I'd like to talk a little bit, if you weren't here last week, bringing up to speed just a little bit. We're in a series called In the Pursuit of Real, and seeking after who the real person is, who the real you is. And I feel like this is a very, very relevant topic, something that's very important that we do get to understand who is this person God has made. And we talked last week about how God has written his name, or your name, a special name, on a stone that will be handed to you when you get to heaven. So we gave everybody these little stones last week as sort of a reminder for you to remember that, you know, God does have a specific name for me and an identity for me, and I want to pursue what that is. And right now, you might not fully know who you really are or who God has made you to be, but you know that it's out there somewhere, and it's this series and our job to try to help you to find that. And so last week we talked about the importance of a community, that you need somebody around you that is going to surround you and is going to give you the kind of support that you need to get where you need to go. And we talked big time about small groups. Tonight we're going to talk about small groups as well, because we're going to talk about it in the context of direction. I think all of you know that in order to get where you need to go, you need to kind of plot your course. And maybe you take your stone and figuratively you're saying, I need to get it out there somewhere. And you think, well, the real me, what does that look like? And for most of us, we're hoping to become good husbands or wives, good moms or dads, people that contribute to society, somebody that's going to work and give and contribute in a way that's going to be respectable. And so these are some of the things that you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, good. It's like, see, you guys are all dark to me, so I'm thinking that you're probably feeling like I do. You're in the situation of life, and you're like, I'm 19. Where am I going to go? This whole world's kind of a big mystery. And you think, maybe good parenting is this direction, and good parenting is that. Did I say parenting already? Okay, good marriage or whatever is this direction, and then maybe you want to just, you know, want to be a better citizen in society. Maybe it's that. You're not really sure, but you're going to put your stone out there. And so I'd like to put my stone out there. Who'd like to catch? I got a few knuckleheads out here. That's really cool. Let's just say, well, I don't know. Maybe I need to just experiment a little bit, and I hope that this doesn't ring when I walk, but. Who would like the stone? I think Cody would, but no, I'm not going to give that to him. I'm going to give him five. How about we go right back here? Would you hold that for me? And this is the direction that I've plotted my course for. And so right now, I'm not really sure where that is. I just know that it's in that general direction. And so I feel like, okay, I got to go that way. And so tonight, I want to talk largely about direction. And here's just some, I'm going to talk about some pretty basic stuff, but a lot of it has to do, I think, it might be easier for us to understand the context of driving. You know, there's very basic rules to driving, and my whole idea here tonight is to help you line up your intention. Right? Your intention was good parent or whatever, with direction. And too often those things are not together. Sometimes it's because our intention is wrong, okay? Let's start with an illustration of wrong intention of driving, okay? I remember a few years back, we had a couple girls, got permission from their parents that they're going to go on their first spring break trip together, and just the two of them are driving, and they're all excited, and they're all nervous, and they've packed, and they've prepared, and they've, you know, this is our first road trip. So, of course, they've got 8 baggages of luggage in the back, and they're ready to go. And so they head out, and I guess they go a couple hundred miles, and they get to their first toll. And you guys know you got the toll where the guy actually takes the money and gives you your change, right? And then you got the other where it's you have to have exact change, and the sign above that says automatic, right? Well, there's tons of traffic and people are all backed up and these girls are in this lane. And one of the girls suddenly realizes that they are in the automatic lane and they are driving a stick shift. We can't be in this lane. This is a manual. We're driving a stick shift. That says automatic. And so they start cutting off all of these people, and people are honking, it's okay, it's okay, we've got a stick shift. So that would be an example of wrong intention. Like they just had no idea, like it was just bad intention from the beginning. And maybe a practical example of that in everyday life is, and I think sometimes people think in ministry that that's all I'm handling is like the really obvious things, like the bad intentions, you know, like the person that comes into my office and says, you know, I've decided to pursue criminal activity and maybe legalized crime as my employment for the rest of my life. And I'm just like, no, I don't think so. And I think sometimes there's some people in town here that might think that that's probably the kind of advice that I'm giving. But for the most part, I don't think many of you are pursuing a career in organized crime. Occasionally, and you know a few of these people, they think that they are going to try to, usually it's guys, going to find a way in which they can drink the rest of their life. At least 4 or 5 times a week that they can find some kind of a course that way. That might be an example of somebody that you can pull aside and say, you know what? Wrong intention, okay? And we know wrong intentions get us in wrong spots, and our goal right there isn't really going to be met. So we got to get our intentions correct. That's an obvious one. Point number one, it's over. The other one that's kind of an obvious one, but yet I think does need to be mentioned, is that some people have no intentions. I meet a lot of these people. What's your goal for life? I don't know. What do you plan on doing this week? I don't know. Do you have any intentions in your life? No, I just kind of living for today. I think that is probably equivalent to the high school routine where the people get a nice car and they cruise. Does this still happen? Does the cruising thing happen up and down Main Street in your hometown? Yes, no? Yeah. Affirmative. And all they're really doing is, you know, you jump in the car. I remember this, like, as a kid, like, in high school, like, man, they're going somewhere. I got to get in that car with them. And I jump in, like, where are we going? I don't know. Round the loop again, I guess. Just burning gas. You don't want to go through life just burning gas, okay? That's the point number two. Some of you don't have an intention, and I encourage you to ask the Lord, what is your intention? That's point number two. Boy, we're cruising, aren't we? Point number three, we're going to stay in this the rest of the night. This is where most of you are. This is where most of us have problems, okay? Not, maybe not where most of us are, but where most of us run into problems. It's in point number three. And it's where we have good intentions, but our direction does not match up with the intention. Let me give you the driving illustration first, and then maybe we'll dive in a little bit deeper as we go through the evening. I was 20 years old. Just bought a car from my grandma and grandpa in Florida. Big, long, what was the name of that car? Now that I can't even. It was a boat, okay? It was yellow, and it had a hood that went from me to the front row. I mean, it was absolutely unbelievable, long boat of a car. It had no radio. It had no clock. And this is before the days of cell phones and whatever. So we are driving in this thing, like absolutely not aware of the time, not listening to the radio. It's a sleeper, right? And so we're coming back. I've got my friend, my best friend from college, his sister, and her friend. So 4 of us. And me and this girl, Beth, are sitting in the front seat. My buddy, Brad, and this girl, Kristen, are in the back. And I just get done driving my four-hour shift, and I am whipped. And at the end of that, I turn to drive. And so Beth jumps in the car, and she drives for all of 35 minutes, and she's tired. So I think, okay, now it's time for the people in the back. Well, they're fake sleeping. You know how they do that, right? And they're just back there fake sleeping. I'm like, fine, I'll do my second shift, even though they haven't put their first shift in. And I jump in and I start driving. And now it's like that family vacation scene. You remember that scene where you got the picture of the kids in the back sleeping, and then you got the picture of the person on the side sleeping that comes to me. I'm sleeping at the wheel. And I am struggling. I am struggling hard. I'm thinking, I'm just going to kill everybody. I've got to stop. I've got to pull over. And this is just, it's silly that they haven't put their time in. So I'm ready. I'm a little bit miffed at these guys anyway. So I'm ready to pull over. And I see, I'm in Tennessee, and I see this exit sign, which is about 100 yards away, the next exit. And I'm thinking, I'm going to pull off there. Nothing's going to stop me from doing that. I fall asleep between that point and 100 yards to where the exit is. I fall asleep. I wake up, and there's the exit, and I'm like, I have got to get off. And so I swerve. And it makes a swerve sound, you know? It's this old car, and it's got these old tires, and you hear, okay? Well, now I'm thinking the people in the back are a little bit concerned. They're probably a little bit worried. You're sleeping. You hear that sound. I want to make sure that they know that I'm in charge. So I throw out a comment, which is a kind of a calm-down joke. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. I state the obvious. I guess we're stopping here, right? That's the statement that comes out of my mouth. So we swerve, and I say, I guess we're stopping here. And I am so concerned with what's going on in the back. Like, why do I care about these sleeping, lazy bums? I have no idea. But I'm concerned what's going on in the back. My rearview mirror, I'm looking intently at their reaction to my comment of, I guess we're stopping here. And I look ahead, and oh my goodness, the exit actually curves, and I go straight. And I am going airborne. I am like Dukes of Hazzard in the air with this boat banana car flying. We are airborne. And of course, there's no radio or anything either, so it's even more intense when you hear the ground rustling, and all of a sudden it's right? And we're just flying. I am in the air flying at this point. And of course, the big front end just ends up tipping me down, down, down. And there is this big open grass area in the middle. And I tee this thing right into the ground. Just boom, boom, boom. And it comes up slow. And I mean, it is an absolute sight, right? And these guys in the back are hitting their head on the ceiling, right? Bouncing up and down. And then we come to a rest. We come to a stop. No radio, no nothing. Nobody makes a noise. Nobody says anything. They all just kind of slowly wake up, look around, grass everywhere. And without saying a word, I floor it. Wow! I'm working my way up the other side, right? I'm just, wow, got to keep momentum going, baby. Wow, there's dirt and grass, everything flying behind me and mud. And I'm making it. I think I can make it. And it's just back and forth. I finally get to the top. And now I'm at the top. Now understand this. This is how highways work. I think you know this, but I didn't. I'm going to remind you of this. Highway is here. Exit ramp is here. My car is here, right? There's an enter ramp, right, to the same highway. I have worked my way up to the enter ramp, thinking in my head, my intentions are, I got to get to town. So I am going into town the wrong way on a one-way ramp with a big old Tennessee cop sitting there watching the whole show. He throws on his lights, comes over to me, and I am just, I don't know, I guess I'm just Christian heaven or something, because I'm happy for some reason. And he thinks I am drunker than drunk. And so he comes up to me, and before he has a chance to say a word, I say, "How you doing?" "Excuse me? How you doing?" "How are you doing?" "I'm doing fine." He says, "Why don't you come out?" And he made me do the little test and whatever. And I was like, "Hey, I'm not drunk." He says, "Well, maybe you should be." Did some running of my plates and tested out and whatever. And he came back and then he says this. He says, a really deep accent. I really loved his Tennessee accent. He's just like, he says, "Anybody in there can drive better than you?" And I said, "Yes, sir, they're sitting in the back." And he says, "Well, I'll let you go." He says something about having a watermelon-sized heart, and then he ended up taking these people up front, and we took off from there. So that's my story of coming back from Florida with my car. I had intentions. I had intentions of getting off on that exit, but I didn't quite make it. I had intentions of making the exit. I didn't quite make it. I had intentions of obeying the law and coming into town. I didn't quite do that either. I had all of these intentions, but none of them were followed through with because of what? Because of my direction. And I know that that's kind of a humorous story. It's kind of funny, but here's what's not funny. There are numerous people that I have seen in this ministry over the years that have every intention of being wonderful parents, wonderful, godly husbands and wives that are going to serve their community, love the Lord, love each other, and they end up being in a very dark place, all alone, very lost, of just a few years out. And I scratch my head and I say, how did they get there? They weren't trying to get there. Their intention was to be there, and they're not. Why? Why do people, and I think if I took a show of hands, all of you, I know you all want to be great people someday. The statistics are going to prove me wrong, or hopefully they don't, but if statistics do prove me right, this is about a third of you are going to be happily married, if that. Why? Why are we not actually ending up where we want to go? And it's not because you have bad intentions. I think all of us have got pretty doggone good intentions. It's the fact that we are actually going down paths that we don't realize are paths. Our direction is what's going to determine our destination. We had a couple girls a few years ago that were trying to get to the winter retreat in Springfield, and they ended up in Champaign. Why? Well, we just got on 74 East. And what? Why were you on 74 East? 74 East takes you to Champaign every single time. And everybody in that car was convinced they're going to winter retreat. We're going to Springfield. We're passing downs, driving on across the state. Champaign, here we come. We're going to take a look at some scripture tonight from Proverbs 7. And it's, if you know your Bible, it's entitled The Adulterous Woman. And I don't want you to get too caught up in that particular illustration, although this is a very much applicable. But I think that this is just true. As we get deeper into this, there is a principle here about a path that we're on, about a direction that we face, about what movement are we involved in now that is getting us to where we need to go. That's what this proverb mostly is about. And so let's just kind of take it verse by verse, so we're just going to plow through it really quick. First one says this: "At the window of my house, I looked down through the lattice, and I saw among the simple, and I noticed among the young men a youth who lacked judgment. First, understand, isn't it kind of cool how this is the perspective of somebody who is looking through his window down upon the youth? I sometimes feel like that guy. And when he says he sees this among the young men, he says he saw a youth who lacked judgment. Now, that's not a rip on the youth. You just don't have as much experience. That's okay. You're not going to have as much judgment as somebody that's lived a little bit longer than you. But as you look down, as this person looks down and he sees a youth that lacks judgment, his heart is going out to this person. You can tell that there is something that he knows that young kid doesn't know. Let's go to the next. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. I don't think you need a degree in Bible theology to really understand what's happening here, right? This is the setting of somebody that's about to fall, somebody who's looking for trouble. He's looking for some action tonight, and he's about to find it. Next says this, then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute and with crafty intent. She is unruly and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares. At every corner she lurks. Next. She took hold of him and she kissed him. With a brazen face she said, today I fulfilled my vows and I have food from my fellowship offering at home. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you, and I have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deeply of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. Now, do you notice at the beginning of that where it says that she has fulfilled her vows, and she has food from fellowship offering at home? You're thinking, not exactly a turn-on. What's this all about? Basically, what she's saying is she's saying, I'm all prayed up. There are spiritual people out there. Everybody's got a spiritual side. And the Protestants, man, we go straight to God, and we're just going to ask God to forgive us, and we just move on. And the Catholics might go to a confession and they get that kind of cleared up and then they move on. And it's like you empty your cup and now you're ready to fill it back up. And she's like, you know what, my cup's all emptied, I'm all prayed up, and now it's time for me to get back into it. This shows that she has a cycle, a routine, she has some sort of a pattern to her life. This isn't a one-time oops. This is premeditated. This is thought out. I am telling you, people, when you see people that have patterns to their life of sin, run from them. All of us are sinners. I'm not saying stay away from sinners or you'd be all by yourself. But what I'm saying is this. People that are intentionally going through the patterns, maybe using church as part of their pattern to make them feel better about who they are so that they can just kind of empty themselves, fill themselves up, and they're just working the system. Stay clear. Stay clear. Next, my husband is not at home. Well, I was kind of figuring that. He has gone out on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray, and she seduced him with her smooth talk. Do you hear the word enticed, persuaded, seduced? She made sense for him. Let me just throw out this argument, this convincing argument for you to fall into this. And then the word astray. Do you see that word astray? That means that that means that maybe he was on a path. His rock was right about there. And she led him astray. And you see, to that kid, to you, to the youth, you think it's a one-night stand. You think it's something that's just I live once. This is this weekend. But you've been led astray. And you're on a new path. You're on a new course for your life. Let's keep reading. At once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter. Like an ox going to the slaughter. He's thinking, no, like an athlete being called out in front of all the people. This is my moment. This is the time. And do you notice how it says all at once? See, this isn't like a predetermined thing for him. This is just a one time in his mind. This is a one time deal. All at once, he followed her. And then it says like an ox going to slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose. In case you didn't get the point, till an arrow pierces his liver. In case you didn't get the point, like a bird darting into a snare. In case you didn't get the point, little knowing it will cost him his life. He feels like a celebrity at a party, and the man from the window says no. He's feeling like he's the man from the window says, you're just a boy. The young guy has Party Rock Anthem playing in his mind. Yeah, I know. But the guy from the window has got Jaws music. What he's experiencing and what the man from the window see are completely different. The young kid saying, man, you're so old. And the guy from the window saying, kid, you're so young. The kid saying, I don't know, you just don't know the way things work in today's world. You don't know how things are on campus. And the old man saying, yeah, yeah, I do. I have a lot of my friends that was that kid, and I know what they look like now, and I know how they act, and I would like for you to interview anybody that you know that has done significant sleeping around in his younger days to talk to him and see what his life's like, see if it brought him to the point where he thought it would bring him. And I know that you've got a lot of people, a lot of professors in your classes that are really ripping on Christianity, and they're really promoting this idea of free living. And I encourage you to follow them home. I'm not saying that we're any better than those people. My goodness, I've got so much sin in my life that needs to be covered. I am not for a minute saying that I'm righteous and better or any way, shape, or form. But I think that if you followed me home, I think you'd like what I have going on with my wife and my kids. I think you want it. And I think a lot of the people that are out there preaching the message that you like to hear, I think if you followed them home, I think you'd find a destination that's probably not lined up exactly with where you want your rock or where you have your rock. So I'm hoping tonight that you would just kind of grasp this idea that you do have a responsibility to line up your direction with your intention. The last thing he says here is, he says, now then, my son, this is the man from the window, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. You got the big warning signs and the horns blowing. He says, do not let your heart turn to her ways. Don't turn to her ways. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her path. Many are the victims that she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Do you see the words turn, ways, stray, path, highway, leading down? And yet all of us think, myself included, I'm an exception. I can handle it. I can dabble here and still get to where I know I need to go. I know I can do that. I trust myself. I can do this. I know I can. Right? And I love how it says there in verse 25, many are the victims she's brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Have you ever sat with a really good counselor? And you start telling them your story, and this really good counselor says, and then at this point, I bet you were thinking this. And you're like, yes, I was. You're very good. And then when you said that and thought that, you probably did this. I did. And your reaction was probably this with your mom and your dad. Oh my gosh. He's really a good counselor. No, he's just seen the same thing happen 832 times before you came in. This is the pattern. This is the way that we end up just slightly getting off at the beginning of a journey and we get on the wrong path. And as much as you think that your intention is going to get you to where your destination is, it is your direction that determines your destination. Some of you have had parents, I think, that have maybe, hopefully not, but maybe have exercised this or demonstrated this before your very eyes. I have a list of some of them for your parents, and then I have a list for you. Maybe some of your parents said, I want to have a great, close-knit family, so I'm going to work all the time. I want my kids to respect me, so I'm going to have an affair on their mom. I want to respect and I want to honor my husband, so I'm going to prioritize the kids first. This is you. I just want to find a great Christian guy. So I'm going to go out with whoever's cute. I want to grow old and see my grandkids, so I'm going to neglect my health. I want to lose weight so I'm going to eat out with my friends whenever they ask and supersize it. I want to know God. I really want to know his ways. I want to understand the word. So I'm going to spend all of my extra time looking at YouTube clips. I want to have a great sex life. So I'm going to practice with everyone I meet. I want to be financially secure. So I'm going to build up my credit. You see, these all are not easy to see in yourself. And yet I think all of us here are in the same boat. We all really want to get to the same destination. And that's where small groups really are so important. Not just so that, like we talked last week, like you're going to belong, but that you're going to actually be with people that are going to get you to where you need to go. And they'll have a voice in your life. And if you're honest about where you're at, where you want to go, and what you're doing, they might say, you know what, you might need to curve that just a little bit and get right back here. Because a lot of this stuff, it's innocent stuff, stuff that you don't intentionally try to, no one's trying to veer off their path. We're all people that have good intentions, but we need a community around us to help us with our direction. That is so important. It isn't just a community, but it's direction in that community. And I'm encouraging it. If you have not signed up for a small group, there's still time. We start those next week. They'll start on Wednesday night and Thursday night. But we're not going to be able to make the whole list until next Tuesday. And so it's going to be like last minute to call some of you if you're in a Wednesday group. So we'll just be hanging on, and we're going to make sure that we contact all of you. If you don't hear anything by next Friday, then you know that we've somehow, there's been a miscommunication, and please let us know. But you should be getting a call next Wednesday or Thursday. And if you would like to sign up tonight, man, we just really, really would like you to do that. Last thing I want to say, Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was looking at his people. He was looking at all of these lost people. And he said that they reminded him of sheep without a shepherd. And whenever I read that, I just think college campus. I think, oh, you guys have got so much potential, and yet everybody that's influencing everybody is 19 or 21, and there's not a whole lot of life lived. And I just ache for shepherds in your life. And for you to just follow the person next to you. They might be a solid Christian, but you know what? Their direction might be off. You can't really trust everybody that's sitting in the Capon Auditorium on a Monday night. You can't trust me. But what you can trust is the Word of God. And that's why in small group two, we're not going to just be like getting together and saying, okay, what's your direction? I'm going to help you out, buddy. It's not going to be quite like that. It's going to be, we're going to read the Word, and we're going to let the Word direct us and dictate where we're going, and we're going to adjust to it. God does not let us down. That's where we're going this semester. We need people in our life that are going to tell the truth. Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about how to change your direction. If you're really in a, how do we really set that course? I'm just telling you tonight, set it, but I'm not really telling you how. I'm not telling you how to adjust. But next week we'll do that. Here's what's really awesome. Really awesome. You begin to see fruit from your life. I've made a bunch of negative examples, and so I almost feel like it's a downer. It's not a downer. You know what's really awesome? There is so much fruit that I've been seeing in your guys' life because you have set your course correctly. And you begin to see financial stability. You begin to see some of the fruits of what it means to be a child of God. And I think that's really great. And one thing that happened a lot last year, right around this time in the fall, is we had a whole bunch of people get baptized. It was like every week we had, wasn't it crazy? We had like 7, 8 weeks, something like that in a row where people were just like, you know what? It's time for me to do the same thing. And they're just setting their course, saying, you know what? It's not about me. I'm dying to me, and I'm living for him. And he's going to get me where I need. And you know what? He does. And so tonight, I don't think we've ever, ever in the history of Encounter had week two baptisms. But tonight we do. Isn't that exciting? Yes. And so Mary and Mari are going to be baptized tonight, and they are going to be back at the campus house immediately after this. If you've never been, I really encourage you to go. It's a lot of fun. It's not real long. It's 20 minutes or something like that. It's pretty informal, and Phil's going to be baptizing them. And what I would really like you guys to do is just consider coming back for a little bit to the campus house. And the more crowded the campus house is, the more fun it gets. So we'd just really love to have you. We're gonna go ahead. Thank you. Good job. We're gonna pass those around. If you want to put your offering in there, you can. If you want to put your small group card in there, please do. And let's pray, and we'll have the guys come up and close us out with some worship. Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for what you are doing in this place, for how you have changed so many of us, including myself. We are excited about what you have in store for us, the direction that you're going to take us. And God, I ask tonight that during our next few songs here, that we would honestly ask ourselves, who is in our life that will speak the truth to us? And if there isn't somebody, I guess I pray, God, that they would have the courage to fill out a card and to make this a priority. I am so, I don't feel like begging often, but God, I just in this time I'm begging. I'm begging you, I'm begging these people that are overhearing this prayer to get involved in community in a way that would change their life. Would you convict us in a way that would cause us to be a part of something, that we would actually know that we need to be givers in these groups too, not just takers? And thank you, God, that you've given us those kind of resources to help plot our course. And so help us to have the right intention, but also the right direction. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.